The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. You want to gather around and face this way so I can sit there? May I sit there? Thanks very much. Thanks very much. You want to turn around and face me? Thank you. Thank you. You want to turn around? I'm looking at you. That's right. That's right. I have a question for you. Thank you. I will get there. So, what object in here, what do you think in this room represents, shows us both our sin and God's love? That could be it. Yeah, that's one. What do you think? The cross. Why do you think the cross, and why do you think that? Is the cross the thing you're pointing to? Yes, and that proves that he loves us. I think I couldn't have said that much better. And I spent 8 years learning that. Why do we look at the cross as a symbol of God's love? Who else knows that? Just as Penny just said that.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You obviously believe that. And you obviously know that. It is. It's a sign that God loves us because even though that we are sinful and we live in a sinful world, that God loves us despite that he would even give his life for us. He would even send his most precious thing for us. And every time we look at a cross like this, we remember that the world is a sinful place. And we remember sin. And we remember that God loves us too. It's like the rainbow. You remember Noah's Ark and the rainbow in the sky? No, you don't remember that story? At the end of the story, God puts his bow in the sky and puts it down. And it's the rainbow in the sky as a promise and a reminder that when we see it, that God will never flood the world again. Just like that, this is a reminder that God will go to great lengths for us because he loves us. A huge one. A huge one. No bigger one than to lay your own life down, right? No bigger one. But there are other signs along the way. Just like Noah's Ark, just like the rainbow in the sky at the end of that story, there were signs all along the way. Today in Sunday school, you're going to hear about another one that Moses had with the people of Israel. And it points out sin, but also points out God's love for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for all the ways that you show and you reveal to us your love in Christ Jesus. We are so thankful for the salvation that you entrust to us, that you are transforming us each and every day, and that you remind us of this through the symbols you have for us, the cross and baptism and for sacrament at the table. Help that when we see these things, we are reminded of that love and we are called to repent. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Want to take this? Thank you very much. Off you go.
A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord and take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Word of God, word of life. Second reading from Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At the mid-late 19th century, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, a well-known poet of England and in North America as well, wrote beautiful love poetry and tender words. How do I love thee? I love thee to the depth and the breadth and the height that my soul can reach. Well, some of you must have memorized that. Did you use that to woo a suitor when you were in middle school or high school? We all know those words, tender words, loving words. But our human love is just a mere reflection of the divine love. All of the readings today show us the depth and the breadth and the height of God's merciful love for us. So God says to us in the scripture today, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. My covenant with you is an everlasting covenant of love. That first reading tells us of the whining, complaining people that God has taken from slavery and is leading into the land of freedom. It's an interesting story about living with the consequences of sin. The poisonous snakes, the result of disobedience and selfishness, bit the people, and they were dying, and they begged for healing. Now, God could have just wiped out all the snakes, done kind of a St. Patrick thing with Ireland, you know, get rid of all the snakes. But God offers them another way to live. Look at the bronze serpent on the pole that's lifted up. Look at the bronze serpent and you will live. God's mercy delivers those who turn to God, and God remembers the covenant that they share. God loves the people and doesn't want them destroyed. They live with the consequences of their sin, but they will not be destroyed. Was it the rainbow in the sky that reminded God of that covenant promise to Noah? One time, God had all but given up on sinful people, but not this time. This time, there is a way out. God says, look and live. There's such a clear connection between that reading from the Hebrew scriptures and the gospel. There's an analogy in that. But for the analogy to work, we have to look at it this way. If the solution for the people in the desert is a snake on a pole that has been lifted up, because the problem is the snakes on the ground. So you follow that. We should outline that. If the solution is a snake on a pole lifted up, because the problem is the snakes on the ground, the analogy for the gospel if the solution is a human lifted up, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, on the cross, then the problem is the human on the ground. Our problem is that we are human. So a human being lifted up that we might look at him and live. The ancient Israelites looked at the serpent on the pole and were cured of the poisonous bites, and they lived. Charles Schultz, that cartoonist, died 20-some years ago, and yet Peanuts theology continues to inform us and teach us life lessons. Lucy is in her psychologist booth. Discouraged again, Charlie Brown? You know what your whole trouble is? The whole trouble with you is you're you. Charlie looks dismayed and he asks, well, what in the world can I do about that? And Lucy answers, I don't pretend to be able to give advice. I merely point out the trouble. Well, the whole trouble with us humans, is us. And Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the human on the cross. Our salvation. Because God is faithful to the covenant promise, we are made whole and we are saved. Lucy again. You know what the whole trouble with you is, Charlie Brown? He answers, no, and I don't want to know. Now leave me alone. And as Charlie walks away, Lucy shouts after him, the whole trouble with you, Charlie Brown, is that you won't listen to what the whole trouble with you is. According to Peanuts theology, the solution begins with listening. If you are the problem, you can't be the solution. The solution has to come from the outside. And this is really hard for us. We have made taking care of ourselves by ourselves a key virtue. We want to depend on, to rely on no one but ourselves. But the truth is, we were not created to be only self-reliant. We are created for community. We are created to be in a covenant relationship with God and with the family of God. If we could do it by ourselves, we wouldn't need a Savior. We wouldn't need Jesus. But too often we do act like we can save ourselves. We want to be our own Savior. We don't want to depend on anybody. We don't want to be in debt to anybody, even to God. Too often, rather than admitting, I am the problem, we'd rather say, oh, I've done some wrong things. I've made some bad choices. We're more apt to admit to bad deeds and then make a promise to change. I've lied, so I'll stop lying. I shoplifted, so I'll stop shoplifting. I drive too fast, I'll try to slow down. We make the problem a deed, an act, and then we can just fix it. I stop doing that bad thing and start doing good things. That's a cheap fix. It doesn't bring healing. It doesn't bring grace. It doesn't bring eternal life. Yes, we have to stop doing bad things, but not because we're strong, but because we rely on God. Our friends in the 12-step programs know all about this. They know that healing and health involves a lot more than cheap fixes. The first three steps of the 12 steps, Number one, we admitted we were powerless and that our lives had become unmanageable. We admitted. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We came to believe. Number three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. This is not a cheap fix. This is a relationship, and that's the only way that the solution can work on the problem, is in a relationship. Despite our infidelity, God remains faithful. Despite how close we've come to our own destruction, God continues to offer us a second chance at life. That is the breadth and the depth and the height of God's love. It's necessary to acknowledge our guilt and to return to God, to look to the cross and live. The good news is that our salvation has been lifted up. God's mercy is there for us. God's mercy is given to us. Our salvation is secure in our baptism and in our relationship with God and with our family of God. The good news is that God has loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Amen.